from Jakarta, Indonesia. Here is Voice of Indonesia with English program. Presenting news, information, and entertainment from Indonesia. You can listen to our program through shortwave 3325 kHz and 4755 kHz. Online streaming, voanews.id, and RRI Digital Mobile Application. Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world. From
listener, here's the news. First, the headlines. President Prabowo Subianto appreciates 2024 National Coordination Meeting Initiative. Minister Mutia says Indonesia and Singapore enhance cooperation in digitalization sector. And here is the news in detail. Indonesian President Prabowo Subianto attended the inaugural National Coordination Meeting of the Central Government and Regional Governments 2024 at Central International Convention Center in Boko Raton, West Java on Thursday. He explained that the coordination meeting is a strategic step to unite decision and policy makers from central to regional levels. He also appreciated the initiative of the Ministry of Home Affairs led by Minister Tito Karnavian for organizing the forum that involved more than 5,000 people. According to President Prabowo, this is an important moment because it is his first opportunity to speak to all decision makers in the country. Meanwhile, Minister Tito Karnavian, in delivering the report of the National Coordination Meeting 2024 event, pointed out that the event is important so that the policies in the regions will be more effective in supporting priority programs in line with the President's Astacita vision. Indonesian Minister of Communication and Digital Mutia Hafid in a press release on Thursday explained that Indonesia and Singapore increased relations in various sectors, including digitalization. She also said the commitment was emphasized by President Prabowo when receiving a state visit from Singaporean Prime Minister Lawrence Wong at the State Palace in Jakarta Wednesday. Minister Mutia accompanied the President and witnessed the two leaders discussing various strategic issues to enhance cooperation between Indonesia and Singapore. According to Minister Mutia, both countries also seek to strengthen bilateral cooperation and expand the scope of strategic partnership. She also explained that in terms of Singapore's investment in Indonesia, President Prabowo mentioned the digital sector as one of the priority issues discussed with Prime Minister Lawrence Wong. Indonesian President Prabowo Subianto asked law enforcement officials not to hesitate in taking firm action against four crimes, namely online gambling, drugs, smuggling, and corruption. Head of the Presidential Communication Office, Hasan Nasbi, in a statement at the Presidential Office Jakarta Wednesday, pointed out that before leaving for an overseas visit, the President gathered ministers to discuss a number of issues, including law enforcement. Regarding the four issues, the President asked the Attorney General's office and the police not to hesitate in taking firm action against the cases. In the briefing of the plenary cabinet meeting, President Prabowo began his overseas trip on Friday. He will make three honorary visits, namely to China, United States, and the United Kingdom, as well as attending two summits, namely APEC summits in Peru and G20 summit in Brazil. Indonesian Minister of Culture, Fadlizon, affirmed that the process of repatriating historical objects has been going on for decades, with a number of countries such as the Netherlands, which has signed an agreement or MOU for the return. But in this case, the UK has not showed its willingness yet. During a hearing with the Commission 10 of the House of Representatives at Nusantara Building in Jakarta Wednesday, he pointed out that one of the historical events that became evident of the loss of many artifacts was the Geger Spey in 1812. Although UK has not responded to this repatriation request, the Ministry of Culture remained committed to data collection and ongoing efforts. The artifacts are now scattered in major museums such as the British Museum and British Library. With all these efforts, Minister Fadlizon hopes that the wealth of Indonesian culture and history that has been stored abroad can return to Indonesia to enrich the insight of national culture. Myanmar's junta chief has held talks with Premier Li Qiang of key ally China on the civil war roiling in his country, state media said on Thursday during his first visit to the country since seizing power in a 2021 coup. As quoted by darabnews.com, Min Aung Hlaing told Li at a meeting in the southwestern city of Kunming that the military was ready for peace if armed groups would engage, according to an account of the meeting in the global new light of Myanmar. Myanmar has been racked with conflict between the military and various armed groups opposed to its rule since the army ousted Aung San Suu Kyi's elected government in February 2021. The United Nations said on Wednesday its Gaza child polio vaccination drive was complete, with more than 500,000 children vaccinated despite the Israel-Hamas war raging in the Palestinian territory. As quoted by ArabNews.com, the World Health Organization and the United Nations Children Agency UNICEF launched a second round of vaccination in northern Gaza on Saturday after Israeli bombing halted an earlier attempt to do so. The joint statement stated that the second round of the polio vaccination campaign in Gaza Strip was completed yesterday or on Tuesday, with an overall around 550,000 children under the age of 10 being vaccinated with a second dose. Few nations are as closely tied as the US and Canada. The two share the world's longest land border and a trade relationship worth more than $1 trillion. As quoted by BBC.com, Justin Trudeau, the Canadian Prime Minister, was quick to congratulate President-elect Donald Trump on his election victory. But there's no doubt their relationship has been rocky and there are challenges on the horizon. Listener, that was the news from Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world.
The Indonesian Embassy in Astana held a diplomatic reception commemorating the 79th anniversary of Indonesian independence and the 30th anniversary of diplomatic relation between Indonesia and Tajikistan. The event with the theme Wonderful Indonesia was held at Serena Hotel in Dushanbe, Tajikistan on Friday, with art performances from the staff of the Indonesian Embassy in Astana. As reported by the Indonesian Embassy in Astana on Monday, Indonesian Ambassador to Kazakhstan and Tajikistan, Fajrul Rahman, said that relations between Indonesia and Tajikistan have continued to progress over time. He also said that since the beginning of diplomatic relation, there has been a lot of cooperation between the two countries, both in the political, economic, educational, and socio-cultural sectors. Trade between the two countries has been an increasing trend of 16% in the last 5 years, and 106 Tajikistan students have been studying in Indonesia through scholarship since 2015. During the event, Tajikistan's Deputy Minister of Industry and New Technology, Aziz Nazar, was present as the guest of honor. In his speech, Aziz Nazar hoped that in the future, collaboration between Indonesia and Tajikistan in all fields will increase. The diplomatic reception was opened with the Tepak Sirih dance from Siak Riau province as a symbol of appreciation and welcome for the honored guests. The event continued with the cutting of tumpeng as a symbol of cooperation between the two nations. On that occasion, martial arts equipment was handed over to the president of Tajikistan Pencaksilat Federation as a symbol of friendship and efforts to increase martial arts cooperation in Tajikistan. In addition to Indonesian dances, the staff of the embassy in Astana performed an angklung show that adopted Indonesia and Tajikistan songs. The embassy also served Indonesian specialties such as rendang, meatballs, and payek. According to the embassy, the guests really enjoyed and appreciated the food that has similarities with typical Tajikistan food rich in spices. Fighters from the Pencaksilat Federation of Tajikistan also displayed their skills at the diplomatic reception. Currently, there are more than 500 martial artists in Tajikistan. The host of the event, Alikonova Latofat from Tajikistan, said that she was happy to participate in this event. Latofat once received an Indonesian Dharma Siswa scholarship.
Listener, we begin today in history with the event of the commemoration of National Puppet Day. November 7th was chosen as National Puppet Day because it coincided with the designation of puppets as a World Cultural Heritage by UNESCO on 7th November 2003. The inauguration of the United Nations Educational, Scientific and Cultural Organization, or UNESCO, of Indonesian puppets as the oral and intangible cultural heritage of humanity is an international recognition that can enhance the positive image and dignity of the Indonesian nation and foster pride and love for Indonesian puppets. Therefore, in order to increase public awareness and love for the promotion of the Indonesian puppets, the government established 7th November as National Puppet Day. Let's take a look at an event on November 7, 2005, when Myanmar's military junta government moved the capital of Myanmar from Yangon to Pyanmana. Pyanmana is about 320 kilometers north of Yangon. Some government staff gave the reason for the move as being more centrally located and better placed to serve the needs of the country. Some staff also said the city was strategically located. Since March 2006, local media and government agencies have named Pyanmana as Nay Piedo, the capital of the seat of the king. We end today in history with the commemoration of the International Medical Physics Day. International Medical Physics Day is celebrated every 7th November. International Medical Physics Day is a moment to pay tribute to medical physicists who have contributed throughout history because physics has many benefits for humans. Physics has benefits in the field of medicine referred to as biomedical physics or applied physics. One of the most useful benefits is radiology and nuclear medicine. These fields enable us to carry out important tests such as MRI, CT scans, X-rays, and ultrasound. International Medical Physics Day has been celebrated internationally by the International Organization for Medical Physics since 2012. The date 7 November was chosen because it coincided with the birthday of an influential physicist, Marie Skłodowska Curie. Well, listener, that was Today in History, read by Ahmad Faisal.
Voice of Indonesia, the overseas service of Radio Republik Indonesia, broadcast in 9 language services: English, French, German, Dutch, Spanish, Arabic, Mandarin, Japanese, and Indonesian. Voice of Indonesia is broadcast via shortwave 3325 kHz and 4755 kHz, and via streaming on vonews.id and RRI Digital on mobile application. We present various programs for you: Diplomatic Forum, The Session, Indonesian Wonder, Miscellany, Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, Indonesian Pop and Regional Songs, International Musical Entertainment, as well as news and information about Indonesia and abroad. Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world.
Set you free. That's the truth behind a crime. Voice of Indonesia.
Listener, My Indonesia Today focuses on Indonesian government prepares funding scheme for endemic animal lending to other countries. The Indonesian government is preparing a conservation funding scheme in the form of a fee for Indonesian endemic animal lending costs to other countries. In the early implementation, Indonesia plans to loan orangutans or pongo pygmies to Japan. Director General for Natural Resources and Ecosystem Conservation at the Ministry of Environment and Forestry, Satyawan Pudiatmoko, conveyed the lending fund scheme is similar to China for pandas. He also said that the pandas lend to Indonesia that is currently at Bogor Safari Park must be implemented in intergovernmental cooperation and continue inter-business for a certain term. In this scheme, the cost of lending for China as well as animal care and health is given to Indonesia. Satyawan ensured that there is the commitment from the Japanese government for funding from the orangutan lending procedure to Japan. The fund is aimed for conservation in Indonesia in accordance with the Nagoya Protocol. The same opportunity can be done to other Indonesian endemic animals in various zoos in other countries such as Sumatran tiger and Komodo. He ensured they will list Indonesian animals in various countries. Satyawan added they are making regulations related to funding that is derivative of the Law No. 32-2024 year on the amendment for Law No. 5-1990 year on natural resources and ecosystem conservation. Well, listener, that's My Indonesia Today, read by Ahmad Faisal.
Try to beg to
Voice of Indonesia.
Indonesia is rich in variety of dances. Each region has its own traditional dance. For instance, Balinese people have a distinctive dance called the Tenun dance. Tenun dance, or waving dance, is a modern creative dance choreographed by two Balinese artists, Nyoman Ridet and Wayan Likas, in 1957. This dance portrays the daily activities of Balinese women in the past, depicting village women woven cloth using simple tools. The dance is characterized by the distinctive movement of waver, which can still be seen in some places in Bali today, such as in Sidaman, Karangasem, and Klungkung. In its performance, the dance movements start by spinning the thread, arranging it on the loom, and the process of waving. Some movements in this dance still incorporate elements of classical dance, while others have been enhanced with imitative movement. This imitative movement reflects the weaver's work acts, such as spinning the thread and weaving. The Tenun dance can be performed solo or in groups. It is typical performed by three or more dancers and emphasize synchronized movement, enhancing the dance beauty. Besides its unique movement, the dancer's attire features bright colors like yellow, green, and red. A distinctive headdress called lelunakan adds to their elegance. To this day, the dance is preserved by the Balinese community.
Voice of Indonesia, the overseas service of Radio Republik Indonesia, broadcast in 9 language services: English, French, German, Dutch, Spanish, Arabic, Mandarin, Japanese, and Indonesian. Voice of Indonesia is broadcast via shortwave 3325 kHz and 4755 kHz and via streaming on voanews.id and RRI Digital on mobile application. We present various programs for you: Diplomatic Forum, The Session, Indonesian Wonder, Miscellany, Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, Indonesian Pop and Regional Songs, International Musical Entertainment, as well as news and information about Indonesia and abroad. Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world.
Listener, Aquabike Jet Ski World Championship 2024 will be held on November 13 to 17, 2024 on Lake Toba. This championship is meant to increase the tourist visit and improve community welfare. Tourism Minister Widianti Putri Wardana hopes that the Aquabike event will be able to attract tourists, encourage the creation of economic opportunities for the surrounding community, ranging from transportation services, lodging, to local culinary that will be enjoyed by visitors. The 2024 Aquabike Jet Ski World Championship is the second year of the World Level Jet Ski Championship Series, held at the world's largest volcanic lake, which is also one of the five super priority destinations. A total of 73 races from 30 countries will compete in this event. Not only international races, this event will also be followed by 10 jet ski racers from the Pride of Indonesia. The 2024 Aquabike Jet Ski World Championship will be held in four large districts around Lake Toba, namely Karo, Dairi, Simalungun, and Samosir. The Aquabike Jet Ski World Championship sports event is also packed with the Lake Toba People's Party, which will offer a variety of activities and attractions, which are expected to attract tourists to come and see firsthand the diversity of culture and feel the warmth of the Batak people. Later, the organization of these side events such as music festivals and SME bazaars will be held around Lake Toba. This can be a forum for local artists to introduce the rich culture and musical traditions of North Sumatra. It is predicted that the organization of this event will have an economic impact of up to 1.7 trillion rupiahs in the next few years. And that was Miscellany.
Voice of Indonesia.
Listeners, we will play a song entitled Andaikan Kau Datang Kembali or Wish You Came Back. Andaikan Kau Datang Kembali was created by Tony Kuswoyo. The song was performed and popularized for the first time by the legendary Kus Plus. The song is included in the album Volume 2, released in 1970. The popularity of the song made it recycled by other musicians such as Ruth Sahanaya, Noah, Yuni Shara, and Anmes Kamelang. The song is about someone remembering their past. Then, the person is trying to evaluate things done until now. Well, listener, here is Andaikan Kau Datang Kembali by Kus Plus. Enjoy listening to the song.
Terlalu indah dilupakan, terlalu sedih dikenangkan. Setelah aku jauh berjalan dan kau tinggalkan, betapa hatiku bersedih mengenang kasih dan sayangmu. Setulus pesanmu kepadaku, engkau kan menunggu. Adakan kau datang kemari, jawaban apa yang akan ku beri. Adakah jalan yang kau temui untuk kita kembali lagi. Bersinar bersedih mengenang kasih dan sayangmu. Setulus pesanmu kepadaku, engkau kan menunggu. Adakan kau
of Indonesia.
Selalu
Voice of Indonesia.
Aku tahu manis senyummu, aku tahu tajam lirikmu, ku tak takut isi hatimu. Apa itu
Voice of Indonesia.